Welcome to another episode of
Rage Gear Studio,
the podcast. Today, you guys, we have the pleasure of having Dr. Elizabeth Bonilla and Jenny X, who will be discussing the HBO series Station 11. Welcome, Elizabeth and Jenny. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm wondering, I'm sitting here wondering, like, what do you have your doctorate in, Elizabeth?
Wow, the shade.
Just a joke, but you guys are experts of this show. We wanted to have you on and discuss the awesomeness of this HBO series, Station 11, which is also based off a book. Mm-hmm. But how about you guys introduce yourselves, give a little spiel, who you are.
Yeah, I'll go first, I guess.
Yeah.
You're Elizabeth took me off guard because you never called me Elizabeth, but I'm Liz or Elizabeth. And basically, yeah, I'm a really big film, television buff. Like, I love it so much. And I do have a degree in film. That's what I studied in college.
Yeah. So you're legit.
I unfortunately am not like making cinematic masterpieces, but I do work in multimedia. I work in higher education. So yeah, literally like all day I'm producing, creating, you know, editing video content. And then I go home and watch eight hours of television and movies. I consume too much, but honestly, it makes me happy. It's like what I love most. So yeah, that's pretty much me.
Oh, how about you, Jenny?
I'm Jenny. I'm Eric's sister.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Second time on the show. Still nervous. I am an instructional designer by day. And really my mission is to just make fun training for people or learning experiences. That's my passion. And by night I watch whatever Liz recommends because
she's the expert. She's the doctor. You gotta.
Yep.
Yeah. I have a doctorate, a pretend doctorate in my eyes, but I do have it. So.
The interesting series. There was a, it's like the end of the world, the virus. There's a virus, but there's no zombies. This time there's no zombies.
Right.
People die. So a lot of people die because of this virus, which is a little too close to home at the time. I guess did they have to hold off in releasing this any earlier because of what was happening?
They did, yeah. So it's funny. They started filming it pre-COVID, and then they had to stop for COVID, and then, yeah.
That makes sense. But it's so in this world, like how we are, the way we live now, it's very much attached to media and video and movies and TV and all kinds of ways of communication. Now the internet, and now they don't have that. This is a whole world where half the people, or more than half the people, are gone, don't have that anymore. And what's really important or they really cherish is performing, because that's their entertainment now. So it's like, it's very, you know, there's this theater troupe and they're super into Shakespeare, and that's what's persevering. That's what's holding people together. That's it. That's what this particular series is about in terms of the protagonists. This is what they do. It's really interesting. So now you guys just laid down the groundwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
For you, Jenny, what captivated you?
So Liz made a post on her Instagram story. And I read it, and it was one of the most beautiful short reviews she has ever written. It basically, that's what captivated me, honestly. And her, she wouldn't stop talking about it either. So,
right.
One of the beautiful thing that she said was that she just wanted to continue to be part of this world, and that's what she was talking about the book, because she bought the book, and so I was like, wow. Now, and she also mentioned something about how she didn't even understand what she was watching, because. Going back to like every episode having a different theme. So I saw the first episode and immediately fell in love. Like I loved Jeevan. I know we get into it a little bit later, but like that, his story, I related to him so much because, you know, he has these anxiety attacks. I'm like, oh my God, that's me. Like he has these, like, he seems like he's lost. That scene where Kirsten's like, well, what do you do? He's like, I don't have a job. You know, I thought it was like very honest. So it just started off really strong for me.
It was, so it did keep changing, like you said, from episode to episode, but I think it was because they wanted to showcase a character in each episode. So every time they had to tell a different story from a different point of view, they had to change that. And some of the points of views did happen 20 years in the past, and some of them are them now, because the characters had different times in terms of when they matter, when they had the most impact in the story. That's why it just kept changing, and that was really great to follow each one, because yes, he did something 20 years ago, but it matters right now. Just like the woman who wrote the book, you know, her story was told late, but you got to see the impact of this book throughout the whole story, and then you get to know her, and then that story kind of wraps up. So it was the time hopping helped, because it was focusing on one character each time it did that, so that you would know how they fit into this. Like each person was a puzzle piece, and it was great.
And at the end, it just all came full circle. It was great to see all those interweaving stories.
Yeah, I really liked how they used the flashbacks to even give more feeling and emotion to some of the stories that they were going through. And then also I like that this wasn't like a linear show, right? Like the timeline, it was all over the place, jumping from back and forth. And then it's like almost like they introduce something and then they kind of go back to it later to kind of finish that story. Like in the beginning, we didn't never know what happened. 7, that's when we learned. So it's like, it gives you like a little teaser, like, you don't know yet. And then I like how they did that. I think they did that very well.
Yeah. I think honestly, what we've been saying, like the structure of the whole show is, what kept me entertained and feeling like, oh my God, like I want to know what's going to happen next. And it's crazy how everything is connected. I think, Ray, you mentioned this, like, it's not till the end where you realize, like literally everything is connected. And to me, that was like one of the big themes, was like how everyone is connected and it's incredibly important, like how you treat people, not only the people that you love, but strangers, and then like your environment as well, or, you know, the other living, you know, breathing things around you. So, yeah.
So what is your favorite episode and why?
I struggle with this one because there are so many important episodes to show, and then so many that I like and so many strong ones, but we must choose one. And my favorite episode is episode 7, Goodbye, My Damaged Home. So that is the episode where we get to finally learn what happens to Frank, why he doesn't go with them on this journey. And the reason why I love that episode so much is because another great thing, or another big thing about this show and what captivated me to it, was the connections. And you see the strong connection that these two brothers make with this girl he literally just met. And you see how well they pick each other up. For example, that one scene where it's depressing, like they're watching like the world ending, they're watching TV, and like Jeevan decides to turn it off and she starts singing to them. That made me really teary-eyed, and obviously it's just something small. It's a small little thing, and it almost reminds them, you know what? We have each other. We're alive. Like, you know, they were able to find beautiful moments even though they had literally lost everything. They had lost their sister. She had lost her family, like everything. They just saw a plane crash. Like it was, you know, but they had these beautiful moments. And then also, another favorite like scene of that episode is when Frank comes out with that recorder and starts rapping, and Jeevan's reaction was like, oh my God, that would be me. And then you see like Kirsten, like, this is great, and they start dancing. It's like they built this little family, and those were the first 80 days. It was really good to see how, you know, this random connection brought them together, how they were able to find these beautiful moments within like despite everything that was happening around them. So, I would say episode 7.
How about you, Liz?
So I couldn't do what Jenny did and just pick one. It was really hard. So I have 5
episodes. Basically the entire series.
That's half of the show.
Which is honestly what we were saying earlier. It's a good testament of like every episode is almost like its own entity, right? Every episode has its own theme. So, okay, I promise I'm not going to make this too long-winded, but I did want to talk about these 5 episodes really briefly. So, like, to me, I loved episode 1 and 2, right? Just the opening of it. I thought they did such a good job of, like, bringing you into this world. And then episode 10, like, just the ends of the show, right? Like I think they did such a good job, and I don't know if you guys would agree with me or not, but like I feel like shows these days or showrunners, like it's almost like they don't want to give the audience what they want. Like I cannot remember a time where I saw a show that ended the way that I wanted it to, or in a hopeful manner, or like in a positive way, except for Station 11. Like it literally gave you everything that you wanted, and I loved it so much. Like that's what, as an audience, as fans, it's like you want the show to give you what you want, and it ended so beautifully. And I honestly think there's no way other way to end it, right? The whole show is incredibly like touching and beautiful, and the way they ended it was great. The way they opened it was great, which is why I loved 1 and 2 obviously, because they were so different, right? Going from day 1 to year 20. And then my favorite, probably my favorite, like Jenny said, was episode 7. Exactly the 2 scenes that Jenny mentioned already, but then also because of the play scene. Like I loved that scene so much. It was so beautifully shot. Obviously, like Frank dies in that scene, which is incredibly sad, but like I love the costume, I love the set design, I love the cinematography. Like I just loved everything about that scene. And again, like one of the themes I think of the show is just about art, and it was it was just a really well done, beautiful scene, really great episode. Like Jenny said, when Kirsten starts singing Noel, like I actually cried, like tears fell from my eyes. Like I thought it was really beautiful, and it was like literally a really, it was like a 10-15 second scene, but it was, I don't know, I thought it was really well done. And then probably my second favorite episode is number 9, which is where you find out, you know, what happens to Jeevan pretty much. But why I really, well, I'll say my favorite episodes are the ones where we see Jeevan and Kirsten's journey, right? So that's episode 1, 7, and 9. But also why I really love 9 was just the theme of it. To me, what I took away from that scene especially was like, that's when Kirsten is explaining to Jeevan the whole like, to the monsters, we're the monsters, right? And while she's explaining that scene to him, he's like cutting up a deer or something like that. But then we also cut to the scene after she says that of the Hong. She's like, she's explaining to him, you know, you're fearful of Big Daddy the way that he is with us, right? Like the Big Daddy is the wolf, right? And she says like, you literally killed his whole pack. Like, and then you cut to the scene of the 4 or 5 wolves, like dead, hung. Yeah. Hung by their cabin. And then what happens at the end of that episode is like he ends up getting attacked by Big Daddy, because you know I'm guessing that Big Daddy was like hunting him and watching him too. And yeah, it's a sad thing that happened, but it's so good, you guys. Like it's so good in the fact
he only got chewed up a little bit. It was so good.
But it's honest to me, it's like so poetic. Like Jeevan literally took away the wolf's whole family, and at that point did exactly the same thing back to Jeevan, right? He attacked Jeevan. He ended up getting separated by Kirsten. And it's like another good example of like how everything is connected and how important it is to like treat others and not just other human beings, but like your environment and all that. So yeah, I don't know. I love that episode. I love that Jeevan got attacked. Okay. I'm not happy that he got separated by Kirsten, but it was such a good example of like, yo, man, it's karma, man. And karma with like your environment as well. I thought it was incredibly poetic and beautiful. I don't know.
At its core, it's just survival of the fittest. We hear this all the time. And I think the show displayed that, you know, what we as humans will do to survive. And I think that's where you can see the good and the ugly of humanity too, is like, how will you be, are you going to be, you know, traveling around with these performers showing art and displaying this, or are you going to be one of like these terrorist groups that were, you know, it was really scary stuff. And you didn't want to come across that, obviously, but, and then,
sorry, but there weren't too many terrorists in this. It's funny how the terrorists were like children.
So, well, they were influenced by, you know, people. Right. It wasn't just them.
No, it was one person.
Yeah, it was the red. It was also the red bandanas. And I think, Jenny, you might remember a little bit more of this. But I remember thinking like, and even Melvin brought this up of like, I guess with these type of shows, you're trying to expect the worst, or like, this genre has always presented like one thing, but this show does like the complete opposite. And it's, you know, showing you how hopeful, you know, even in bad times, humans, you know, can come together and do something good. And so, yeah, but yeah, they did sprinkle some bad, obviously, with the Prophet and the red bandanas and that. And I don't know, I honestly think they did a good enough job of like presenting both sides, but still trying to be more hopeful than that. I still think it was realistic in a sense, because I do think that is how the world would respond, or I don't know, I hope it that's how it would respond 20 years out, I don't know. Or it could be like a Walking Dead situation where, you know, colonies just try to kill each other. I don't know. Who knows, right?
I guess if I had to pick a favorite one, it'd have to be towards the end. Yeah, it had a great beginning, but when Tyler finally reconnects with his mother, and it comes down to like all along, all he just wanted was for her to be like on this earth and connect with him, because she never did. It just started with her being very dismissive of him, and he had no connection to them, to that group, because he had no connection to her. And that was his mom. Like that's, that should have been his strongest connection in this place where there's nothing left on this world, but she was still too busy doing other things. But at the end, when it was like, he left with him, like that made all the difference to him. That changed his perspective on everything, even though he did absolutely need to let go of the past for himself to grow, because that was his mission, which is his past was not something he wanted to remember or celebrate or honor.
And there's no before.
Yeah. And him with his mom, that's what he wanted his mom to be with him, and he finally got that. But it was intense. So that's where it got emotional for me.
It's funny because I kind of had the opposite, not the opposite, but I was trying to grapple with the idea of like, because I feel like she was there for him. Like, I could understand, like, I knew what they were trying to say, that she was kind of like an absent mother, but I don't think they did a well enough, like, portrayal of her being absent, because so his trauma obviously came from the fact that like he took that one guy off the plane and he was trying to save that guy, and so then they made him quarantine, and the mom quarantined with him. Like, it wasn't like she was like, oh, like, I'm not gonna quarantine with you.
Well,
like,
they made her quarantine with him, because she came in contact with him.
No, she did it on her own volition. She was just like, I'm
not, you know, he
Yeah, because
there was a scene where they like, and they were like, "Oh, you touched him, you gotta go with him too." Yeah,
no, they probably both. Honestly, it was probably both. It was probably her decision. Like, I don't think she would have said not. Like, I don't think she would have not quarantined with him. And so, like, to me, I'm not gonna lie. Like, that was one thing where I was like so confused as to like why he hated his mom so much. I don't know. I get it. Like, I get what you're saying, Ray. Like,
well, she did it to me. She admitted to like interfering with his relationship with his father.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, she does say that. So yeah, I agree with that. I feel like they probably could have made it.
So I agree with Ray though about I think he was a lonely child. And I don't think it's she did it on purpose. I think that her lifestyle, her job really took her away from him and being there for him. And on top of that, like his dad wasn't present either. And Ray, you mentioned that scene where she interfered. I think she lied to him. She said she lied to him because she wanted him to think that Arthur was trying when he really wasn't.
No, she did lie to him. She did admit to that. But it was just she thought she was doing
right. She thought she was and Liz, I think Elizabeth is an incredible character.
Because yeah, I love
her. She started off as this like very like you could tell she made a lot of change. And I think she started to change like during that time when she gave him the book. That's when she was like, this is my son. But before that, I feel like she might've just been really disconnected.
He had a nanny. And
he had a nanny,
That's true.
Wait by the plane. He was like out on the field. She was digging through her luggage. Like it was just like, he was the furthest thing from my mind at that moment. And I think he spent a lot of time that way because when you're introduced to him, he's just attached to his little handheld device.
Yeah. Like,
and that was him before this incident. So he had 7 years of his mother neglecting him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something the kid just won't drop. Like that's that's part of the reason there is no past. There, you know, because like he doesn't want to go back to that. He wasn't happy then. So him reconnecting with his mother, and at the end, she leaving with him, that
was so sweet.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was and I think that scene too made you realize that like she is a good person because she literally had zero hesitation when he was like, come with me. She didn't even have to think about it. She was like, yes, of course. So yeah, I did really love that. And I do, hearing your perspective, Ray, like yeah, I get it. Like, yeah, the little things of the fact that he was always on his little thing. Like, yeah, that's something that I didn't pick on with. So, yeah, so thanks.
Aw. What about you, Eric?
With my favorite episode was 3, because that got with Miranda's perspective and where she was when the flu hit. You know, she was in a foreign country. She was in Singapore. And then her way to like try to get back to see her loved ones or Arthur, or you know, like when I watch these shows, I guess I always place myself in their shoes. Just like, what would I do in that situation? And I guess sometimes you won't know until you're actually in it. And you know, her getting that call from Clark, and you know, her just hitting her so hard that Arthur just died, you know, unrelated to what was about to come, right, like that was happening right then. I related to her the most, especially because of her comic book, her art, and how she was so focused to get this completed that she kind of almost disassociated herself from social like being social with or having these connections with people. And she always made time for her book, her comic, or her art. And it was, I guess that was the whole thing about this comic, is like they were never aligned at the same time, type of thing. And that to me was the most poetic thing about the show, is like sometimes you are meant for each other, but you're not in the same wave, in the same wavelength at the same time, you know, it just doesn't match up sometimes. And that was just so tragic and sad, because you know that they did love each other and they wanted to be together, but you know, it just wasn't the right time. And then disaster hit, and that was that. So yeah, episode 3, I think, really struck a chord with me.
Episode, I agree. Episode 3 is a really good one. And it also, episode 3 is really the history. It's the origin story of Station 11. That's how we learn, like, what is this bug? Like, you know, and the show is called Station 11. But I think Miranda was going through trauma. Like, she lost her whole family. And this was her way of, you know, dealing with that emotion that she was dealing with. But yeah, it ultimately, her marriage like fell apart, and it wasn't just, I mean, they definitely had some issues that they needed to resolve, but a lot of it is because she was dealing with that trauma. Cause yeah, it was interesting. There was that scene where he was like, when you're here, you're not even here. Like he was not present. And I know that was hurtful for both of them, but, it is a beautiful, Miranda's a beautiful character, and that one was a beautiful episode, I think. Yeah.
So we have talked about some characters already, but do you guys have a favorite? I'm sure we're going to get a lot of similar answers, but I guess we'll start with you, Jenny.
Jeevan is my number one. He is, since episode one, like that first scene, you see him. He was the only one to run on stage when a man was dying in front of everyone. He's the one who went up there. He didn't even know CPR. And he's like, I mean, doesn't anyone see that this man is dying? And it just shows how genuinely kind he was. It's a reminder of, you almost forget, like, cause there's a lot of times where there's so much bad in the world and there's so much like bad in like humans and stuff. And then you see these, like this genuine human being so kind, not to this actor, but also to Kirsten, and how his mission is to like take her home, and he's continuously like showing kindness around him to anyone he encounters and stuff. But I would say Jeevan is my number one, but I really actually really like Miranda too, so that would be my number two.
How about you, Liz?
So my number one, and I'm laughing because I don't know if it's because I'm biased, but I love Kirsten. I don't, but like I said, I don't know if it's because I love Mackenzie Davis so much. She's so beautiful. She is so kind.
She is important.
She is important. Like, I just love her.
As a character, though, she was very, because of her trauma and all that, she was so overprotective to the point where she was very smothering. And I think that's,
but we'll hear your side. You're living in a crazy ass world, okay? When some fucking prophet is like trying to take her away, like she's lost so much, Eric. She lost her parents. No, she lost Frank. She lost Jeevan, and she didn't get to say goodbye to anybody. So no, it's like,
again, I said because of her trauma.
It's trauma, but there's also that scene where her friend is pregnant and decides to stay back.
Yeah.
And she gets so mad and like mean, and like I feel like, oh, that's very selfish.
Selfish.
No, it was, but you know, we know the backstory of it.
Badass, I will say, like,
I love her.
Definitely, I would.
I love her.
Yes. She's a badass. I don't know. I love her. She's my favorite. Regardless, I still love her so much. But then, like, probably all of us, I also really, really loved Miranda. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I didn't really like. I didn't see myself in Kirsten, right? Like, and I think everybody who watches a show or movie, you always usually connect to somebody, even if you don't say it, right? Or realize it. But like, yeah, Miranda was like, I loved her story so much. Like, and honestly, so in my like little Instagram ratings, I gave the show a 4.5 out of 5. And the only reason why I held off a star was because I honestly felt like they didn't do Miranda right. Like, I honestly felt like I wanted to know more about her. Like, I I wish we saw more of her trauma, I guess. I wish we saw more of her childhood flashbacks, and who knows, maybe there was and they cut it, but I don't know. Yeah, like I loved her character so much, and I feel like all of us could relate to her.
Maybe they'll do a prequel, Liz. It was yeah. How about yours, Ray?
It's hard because everybody's important. All these characters. Yes. I almost want to say like that guy who wanted to become part of the troop and they wouldn't let him. I'm kidding.
I was about to be like, Ray, me too. I loved him.
When he played Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you are so good.
His audition was so good. Have you guys seen Independence Day?
Yeah.
I couldn't do a monologue on it. I'll do that. I'm good for him, but you know he persevered.
It was honestly, I don't want to say that I teared up for that scene, but it was so good. If you've seen that movie like 100 times like I have, and the way he delivered that monologue, it did it justice, Liz. Yeah, it was so good. I loved it so much.
But Jeevan, I guess that's the one I identified with, because he was the one who you were walking on this, you started the journey with. You know, he didn't have to do any of the things he did, but he did step up and he did pick up this kid. just this kid. Took her home. If that didn't work, he's like, well, we're going shopping. And then she's like, why are you buying all this alcohol? I was like, well, it's the end of the world. And the guy at the register was cool too.
Yeah. About like all the
yeah. He's like, should I be going home or something? Like, yeah, dude. So I guess seriously, it would be Jeevan, because what a journey. And then like being held by the birthing Amazons.
Yeah. Well, that was his fault for saying he was a doctor.
Yeah, but come on.
He also said he was alone too.
Right. So I don't blame them.
You don't blame them for keeping him hostage?
Listen.
They saved his life. He would have died. Like, had they not come and gotten him, he would have died. There was no way. Like,
imagine like just the whole thought of you getting kidnapped and you being brought into this hospital. Now you have to sit here and stare at like 30 pregnant vaginas that they all have children, and that's your job now.
but then look at he stepped it up and he learned and saw the beautiful
trial by fire, came through. Now he's a OBGYN.
Yes.
The world.
But to give credit though, like in the book, I haven't read the book, but I've read things. In the book, technically he's an EMT. He's like studying to be an EMT in the book, so then that kind of makes sense why he becomes a doctor and why he is so giving and caring. Like, so I thought it was interesting that the show decided not to give him that backstory. But I don't know, I thought it was, you know, relatable.
Yeah.
All right,
well, go ahead, Ray.
Did we discuss your favorite already?
Yeah, Miranda.
I forgot.
Okay. Yeah.
I was listening, but also Jenny and Liz made me laugh. So go ahead.
do you want to ask the next question?
What is the prophecy?
Oh my God.
Can we discuss this?
No idea.
I'm going to let Jenny take it.
Oh, you want me to take it?
I'm going to let you take it because honestly, it's so funny because I feel like everyone who watched it that we know, right, put such a big emphasis on this prophecy. And I was like, to me, it was nothing. The prophecy was literally nothing. Like, I think the graphic novel obviously was like a metaphor, but I think the prophecy was just like Tyler's way of like manipulating the kids and that kind of stuff. So I don't know. But I also know that you've heard most of the podcast, so I don't know if they've revealed more, but like to me the prophecy was like meant nothing to me.
So, and I did try to decipher it. Like I rewinded that part where the kids, the undersea made her say the prophecy, and I rewinded it like 4 times, and I'm like trying to really like focus on what she's saying. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I think it's true. I don't think it means anything. I think he used it as a weapon. But I do think there's something in it. So I think, first of all, I think it's a summary of Miranda's trauma. Like it's her story. And this was her way of like trying to sort out her thoughts. And I think these kids, like Kirsten and Tyler, really gravitated to the story because they were also going through trauma. They had also lost a lot. So I think that's why they were so captivated by the story and all for them to escape. So I think that's why it was this obsession over the book for those kids. And then I think, though, that there's some parts of it that really comes with, like, everything happens for a reason. A part of that prophecy says, I have found you 9 times before, maybe 10, and I'll find you again. And that reminds me of how Jeevan and Kirsten reunite, spoiler alert, reunite at the end. And it's so beautiful. And I start thinking, like, I was so stressed out that episode because they almost ran into each other a bunch of times. And then I started thinking, how many times in those 20 years did they almost cross paths? It was probably possible. And same with all of these people who have like lost loved ones and probably just haven't found each other, ended up in opposite ends of the world or whatever. And like, how many times have people almost like, you know, found each other again after being lost for so long? So I think it is about that. And then Elizabeth and Tyler too, they reconnect again as well. They come together and in a different way too. Like we talked about that, how sweet it was that they reconnected and learned to like appreciate each other and in a different way than they did when in the past. So yeah, I think that's what the prophecy is.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I all right. So I like the way that you're thinking of the prophecy, right? So pretty much how I thought of like the graphic novel is, yeah, it's like this incredible metaphor of what they're going to. And I love, like, one of my favorite themes of the show is art. Like, almost everything kind of relates back to art. Like, Miranda, the only reason why she was the only survivor of her whole family was because she was on the counter of her house in the kitchen, and she was drawing. And that's why she survived, because she was literally engaged in her art at that time. The reason why the civilization of... Wait, the Museum of Civilization reached out to the Traveling Symphony and they emphasize, we've never done this before. We've never reached out to anybody. We've never exposed ourselves. And the only reason why they do is for the sake of art. And like, yeah, that was one of my favorite things. But I guess, yeah, to relate it back to like the prophecy and the graphic novel. Yeah, like one of my... Yeah, like the main line, I guess, of the graphic novel is, I remember Damage, I remember Escape, and then Adrift in a Stranger's Galaxy. And I feel like that's kind of why Tyler built this like army of children, was because to him, the only people who are innocent and honest are children, which is, you know, when he experienced this trauma, which is also when Miranda experienced this trauma, mm-hmm. which is also when Kirsten experienced this trauma. And so like, I definitely loved the metaphors, and I love the levels of it too. Like there's so many levels to it. Like even Hamlet, like the main thing about Hamlet is Hamlet losing his father. And so again, you can relate that to Kirsten and Kirsten losing her parents and about loss and death. And so yeah, in a greater scheme, I guess that was the prophecy or how you could relate, you know, each art to each other.
Yeah, and that art can be any form. It could be performance art. It can be a comic book. It can be, I mean, the Broadway show that Arthur was in. All mm-hmm. Again, I think this series was such a what do you call that when it's like a love thing for something? It was an homage to the arts.
Homage
to the arts and how important art is in our, you know, for us as humans too. It's expressive. It, you know.
Yeah, survival is insufficient, yeah. As the Traveling Symphony would say.
And on a side note, I wish this graphic novel was published because I really want to read it.
Oh my god, me too. So Jenny, you found out from the podcast, right, that they actually did like A to Z, like the graphic novel actually exists. They wrote it, printed it.
Yeah, for the movie. So they did it specifically for the movie. So obviously it's not in production, but they should definitely.
Wait, the movie?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah,
the show.
Oh my god! Hold
on. She's about to leave this podcast right now and get on with the rest of her life. Go watch this movie.
But I will also highlight that scene where Kirsten and Tyler act out that scene in front of Clark. That was so moving, and how perfect that they both knew this graphic novel by heart. Like, it was cemented in their being that they were able to fake that they, you know, been actors for however many years or whatever that they've known each other. And it was such a great scene.
Yeah.
No one said Clark was their favorite character.
Clark.
Isn't that sad?
What was the name? The traveling people,
Sarah
was great.
I love Sarah as well.
She's a star. She was Tank Girl to me, but she was
Oh my god, you've seen Tank Girl, right?
Yes.
Oh my god, I love Tank Girl so much. One of my film projects in college was off of Tank Girl. I loved it so much. I remember I mentioned it to Eric, and Eric was like, what?
I don't know, Tank Girl. Was,
like, I can't. Because that's just who she is to me. She did so well. Like, if anybody cartoon character, it was her. Like, she did it.
Yeah. And that was also based off of a graphic novel, I think.
Yes, a comic series.
Mm-hmm.
Comic book, and she was her. She was the Tank Girl. There's no other. It's like J-Lo and Selena. It's like, it's her.
So well. On to the next question. What were Tyler's motives?
Okay.
I would say Tyler's motives was not to relive his history, like not to do it again. He's lived in the past. He knows what the world was like when it was connected, when we were an advanced civilization, when we had all these gadgets that kept us occupied, even his little game held situation. Things needed to start over for him. He was very happy to see things like forget all that, there is no before, this is how it goes now, this is where we are, let's deal with this, enough of that. He just wanted, he was not happy with his past. He refused to relive his past. That was his thing. And did he go about it correctly? Possibly not, because he didn't have to kill all those people. It was too much. There was a lot of anger, there was a lot of rage, but like anybody with mom issues, they're just not right. And but that was it to me. That in a nutshell, that was kind of him. He couldn't go back there. Things needed to start over. So he saw this as an opportunity. Eventually, he saw this as an opportunity to start over.
Yeah.
So.
But he was. You think it was really dark that he would have children like commit suicide basically and attach bombs to themselves like that. I don't know.
That throws me off.
Now, my question to you.
Whereas Tyler,
which is, I think, because I guess like when we meet him, right? It seems like he's trying to get I think it's a post-panned thing. Because he asks Alex, how do you feel about being the only post-pen in the group, in the Traveling Symphony? Which is actually very interesting that she's the only one who was born, who doesn't know what the past was like. So I wonder if that's his connection. He wants to be surrounded by people that are like, that class was like. I don't know.
But thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's an interesting point.
But then, you know, yeah, like manipulate them and, you know, have like bombs on them. Like, I really don't understand that part of his character.
Was that touched on the podcast or no?
No.
I love that you guys feel the same way that I do, which I was very conflicted with his character. I was very like, I don't know. Because in the end, it's like, you're like, oh, he reconnects with his mom. But then it's like, but you just killed a bunch of kids and who knows what else you did in the past. And I guess to me, the only way I could like justify his character and what he does was like, you know, some of the first scenes that you see. Well, first of all, him saving that guy off the airplane. So right away, that tells you his character to me. Like,
yeah,
obviously his character is to be like loving and caring, and he's trying to save this person, and like he does this like at such a young age, and then it's like all these adults around him then attack him for doing something that like he honestly feels like is a good thing, and so like. That's incredibly, I think, traumatic to him, and again, why he ends up gravitating towards kids. So, but then why he ends up like blowing up kids, I don't know. That's hard to grapple with.
Even when we go back to him being a kid and saving that guy, it all comes back to him being deviant. No one was allowed near that plane.
A little bit of rebel.
Why was he so drawn to this airplane full of dead people? Because that's all he was told was in there. But he kept going. He just had to be defiant always. Like, that's just who the character was from the beginning. He didn't want to listen to people. He shut himself off. And she was raising a serial killer. I don't know what she was doing to him. But it was, he went against absolutely everything he was ever told to do. Even back then. So it was, I don't know, it's just something that's always been with the character. Look, he's just always like, when he was supposed to be acting, he was also thinking about like, I was like, was he really gonna kill this guy? Like, he was just he had to break the rules, he had to go against the grain, there was definitely an antisocial thing about him.
Yeah
to Ray's point, I also didn't think he did it out of the kindness of his heart. He wanted to kind of get back at those people at the airport and was like, let me go because they keep telling me not to go near this plane. I'm going to do it anyway. And because he didn't know there was anybody alive in there. Also, like if this deadly flu broke out, I wouldn't go near that plane. You know, like I think he did it to spite his mother and Clark, like just to go against the rules.
He hated Clark.
But Clark wasn't a very likable
person. No, he was not. Like, he really never redeemed himself either.
No.
He just through and through from start to end. I'm like, dude.
Yeah. But that's how I took it. But I'm happy that he was able to reconnect with his mother. And I think we all have that love for our mom. So anytime that has... is in display, it's always, yeah. So I was happy that happened. But again, it can't forgive like what he did, these other horrible things. But who knows? I guess that's left for
who's gonna judge? Like, what's left to who's, what's the court system?
It's true. You're right, there's none. So
do you think that in the end that he, because you see him in the end and as Alex rides off with him and his mom rides off with him or walks off with him. you see all these kids. You think he took all the kids from the airport? That's what I thought. I'm like, that has to be all the kids from the airport. There's a bunch of kids going with him.
I think those are all the kids he just collected along the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All his little pulse pants.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
What was the most surprising part of the series? Like, what surprised you the most, Jenny?
That's a good question. I didn't think about this one beforehand. So, I don't know. I think overall, I think we sprinkled this throughout the episode, but I think I was so surprised with how when you think like these post-apocalyptic shows, you almost expect like this violence and all of that. But like, I was not expecting, or I was very surprised with how it didn't have a lot of violence, and it had more, like we've talked about, the connection of the appreciation of art, like the strong connections that they made, and then also survival. So I think what surprised me the most really is how moving this show was about a topic that we're living today, right? Like this pandemic, and like how beautiful it was, and it taught me a lot. I never expect the show to really do all of that, like, and it did for me. Like it really did just help me appreciate things and life and my connections and the people around me. So, yeah.
How about you, Liz?
Yeah, I don't really have a really great answer for this either. Nothing really surprised me besides Tyler's like transformation and how we were expected to like cheer him on when we just saw him do terrible things. So yeah, nothing that I can like pinpoint that I was like shocked by, or you know, besides Tyler's transformation.
Yeah. And if you know what, I will say too, like in the end, we like when Jeevan and Kirsten reconnect, I was not expecting that. First of all, I thought he was dead until episode 9. So I think seeing live and well with his cane was a surprise to me. And it was a beautiful surprise. So yeah.
That's what surprised me the most, is that he was still alive. It was alive. They actually reconnected, because in those kind of shows, that never happens.
You
never get that reconnection at the end there. And he's still around, and I thought they were going to miss each other at the airport.
Me too. I had already told myself.
Checked on Sarah. He'd left. It's like, it's over. It's done.
Yeah.
And no, like he stuck around long enough to reconnect with her. And that was surprising to me. I didn't think.
And I would say, like, obviously, I talked about my favorite episode, but my favorite scene of the entire show is when they reconnect. Because even thinking about it makes me tear up. And, like, I've seen that scene, like, 5 different times. I sob every time. It is such an, like, the happiest sobbing. Like, it is just, like, it's the beauty, and it just shows how. And you know, I also think about how things are, like, certain things have to happen for these things to happen. You know, if I think about all the things that had to happen for them to reconnect, like they had to get off the wheel, right? They had to, Tyler had to come and blow up the museum, and all these things had to happen or else that reconnection would not have happened. So I thought that was very special.
Okay. No, again, it was that. I thought Jeevan was dead, and that they waited till like episode 9 to reveal that he's actually alive and well and has his own family and all that. That was what surprised me the most, because I already had, I guess, decided that he was dead. So that was a happy surprise. So final question, the impact this has had on you and how it relates to us dealing with this pandemic. It was kind of scary how parallel it was, and Liz, you had told me that they were filming before the pandemic and it got picked up and they were doing it, and then the pandemic happened for real. So it was very interesting.
Yeah, I think it was probably incredibly crazy for them. And in their show's podcast, they do like touch on that, because yeah, I mean, like, I think all of the before scenes, they actually filmed before the real life pandemic, which is like incredibly crazy to think about. Like the showrunner talks about like that scene in the movie theater. He was like, there was like 300 extras. He was like, we shot that before. He was like, if you know, we were shooting that after, he was like, there's no way we would have been able to get real extras in there and that type of stuff. I don't know, as a viewer on, I feel like the show is about a pandemic. I don't feel like the show is about a post-apocalyptic world. But I guess, like, to connect, you know, both things, I think obviously us going through the pandemic and being isolated, like, you did yearn for that, like, human connection, right? And I think this whole show is literally about human connection and even, like, your own art and your art connecting to humans, right? Like, that's such a big thing. And so, like, I guess in that way it was, yeah, incredibly parallel to us, for sure.
I think how about you, Jenny?
Go ahead, Jenny.
So I think the impact it had on me is really about just, I'm so reminded that to appreciate little things. I think so often we get so stuck in our day-to-day. We get stuck, like, I mean, I know all of us look at a computer screen all day. We're around tech all the time, that it's almost like we forget, like, nature's so beautiful. And this show does, I mean, there's no technology in the show, like, you know, there's no, none of the screens are there. So it just shows, like, a life if we didn't have that. And it's beautiful. And I think Liz talked about the connections to other humans, but I also think connections to nature too, like, all, and also, like, very interestingly too, what I found fascinating, and I learned this on the, from the podcast, is because they were dealing with a pandemic, they also struggled with getting props, like some of the costumes and stuff. And a lot of, like, the costume people, like, went dumpster diving for some of these things. And it's actually beautiful, because that's, I mean, when you're in a, like, that's what they used. And it's, so it's very realistic when you're seeing, like, these costumes. And it's cool that they were able to kind of, like, use the same thing that we were going through, kind of to build these costumes. But yeah, I think it's just the connections that are extremely important in our lives. And then, I guess I kind of agree with Liz, like, yeah, it's with this pandemic, but it kind of doesn't really follow that story. Really. It's again about survival, art and connections, really.
Yeah. Those are the things.
Yeah. Sure.
Anything you want to add, Ray?
Ultimately, it was like the perseverance of art. You lose all that tech stuff, you still got this. Mm-hmm. There's still these things that you can make yourself as a human being, as a creative individual. And that's what the traveling symphony or performers were about, and that's what the graphic novel was. And what it comes down to is that, like, human creativity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got.
And even after the creator is gone, it still perseveres. You know, we go to museums and see all these paintings, or, you know, we appreciate art, or, yeah, I think we've all said it, that this show was great for that.
Yeah, I also want to mention, I also really liked the idea that Miranda brought up of, like, she was creating this graphic novel for herself, and I love that, like, art can be that, right? Like, you can, mm-hmm, reserve art for yourself or for, like, the public, right? And especially, mm-hmm, because, like, the same, you know, a couple of people can view the same piece of art, but they'll see it differently. And I love that Miranda was like, I'm making this for myself. Like, I need this for my own shit, you know? And so I also really love that idea of it. I know, like, as artists, obviously, as creators, especially myself, Eric, and Ray, it's like, obviously, like, you want to share your art and you want people to love it. But, like, sometimes it is nice to, like, just create for yourself or create something that, like, a lot of times there's things that I'll make that I know nobody's going to like, but I'll still put it out there because I love it. And it's a mm-hmm, representation of myself, or it's, like, a way of me dealing with my shit, kind of like Miranda was. So, I don't know. I love that concept of the show as well, and as Miranda as a character.
Oh, yeah. That definitely, you summed it all right there. As creators, creativity, a lot of times it's just you expressing yourself, and it might not be something you want to share. You know, it's just an outlet for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, art has different forms and different variations of, like, what we decide to put out there for the public to see, or if it's just a personal thing or something we just share with each other, or, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, we're going to wrap this up unless you guys have any last talking points.
No, it's a great show. I should have said that.
You haven't seen it. Literally, no spoilies, but no one
should have said it. Yeah.
If you want to follow Kristen.
We should have said this at the beginning. If you haven't seen the show, it's an incredible show, but we just gave you all the spoilers, so I don't know. Watch it in a year when you forget all of this information.
If you want to follow Kristen, you can go to follow Elizabeth.
You can follow me at You, Me, and the Wild on Instagram.
Liz does awesome photography, and I love anytime you post about your hikes or the night sky.
Thank you so much.
The stars out where we here in the city, we don't see any stars because of the light pollution. I'll put your Instagram on there. And how about you, Jenny? Any closing remarks?
I'm Jenny XG, and Liz and I, and actually a few others, are doing a 52 hike challenge. So I mean, that's really all I'm posting about. Just some of the, speaking of nature and in the show. Yeah, we're on this adventure of doing 52 hikes this year, and it's been a wonderful experience so far. So yeah.
What number are you guys at?
I'm in hike number 8. Okay. And Liz is.
I'm on like number 5 or 6. I'm a little behind, but I'm going to catch up.
Still catch up. Yeah. Well, thank you both for coming on.
Always great.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Thank I love you guys so much. Fun.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
All right, bye, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
So he downloads all the information she needs into her brain and sends her off. But before she can run off, Gabby's like, "I'm coming too. It's the Wolverines." So that was a cute beginning. Right away, you're off with the Abnar Shakladar TED Talk, and he's off to perform his announcement to the world of all the tech advancements that he's been making and what he's working on and his new cloud service and all this stuff. But the X-Desk, the FBI guys, the CIA guys, they're trying to get him not to go on that stage because they need to protect him because they know something's happening. Because Moira's been teasing all the security cameras. She's been making sure that she's seen. Like when she just walks by them and waves. I don't know, like, she's just like, "Here I am," takes the hood off. Like she just makes sure that whoever's looking for her has a very easy time finding her.
She actually tips off the CIA to go to this event that she knows that Tekverine is gonna come. So she was like, "Well, I got these two people chasing after me. What if I just pitted them against each other?" So that's what's about to happen.
Tekverine does show up, and he's slashing and slicing and
all the agents, all the cops, and then. Yeah, the event gets evacuated. So they pull Arnab. He gets onto his helicopter, flies away.
Goes home, thinks he's safe, puts his hand in, because that's how the key to his home is his hand. And then Moira pops out of nowhere, puts a gun in his head, and she's like, "We're going in, and you're not going to regret this. I'm going to tell you all these things, you're going to love it."
Yeah. So Moira then sits him down and tells him everything.
Arnab's a really good listener. They talk for hours and goes on. But before that, the Tekverine is in that hall killing people, and Laura shows up, Gabby shows up, Dokken shows up. He's fighting all of them.
It's a Wolverine reunion.
But then Dokken's like, "Wait, you smell right, you talk right, you move right, you're him, you're the dad, you're the one." And he's like, "Yeah, and I know how all of you die. I can't take it." And like, so it turns out that this is the Wolverine from the dome, from year one, with Moira in the preserve from Powers of 10.
Yeah.
It's that guy who was there with Moira all that time to see if they could get as much information as possible before killing her and sending her back so that doesn't happen. Now that's getting rerouted. I don't know. It's up in the air. The series has been, at least this X-Death's book has been like going back and touching on that stuff that has been ignored for the last couple of years. And I'm glad that they're bringing that all up again. So then back to Moira with Arnab, and he's giving her a new arm. because he's listened to her plight, he's seen her. But then she puts on that new arm, and it looks like in the drawing, like there's a tech virus pattern right at
it looks where, very phalanxy.
Yeah, right where it's the same. Like exactly the way it looks on Wolverine's body. I don't know if it's a little bit of something that she didn't cut off completely from the first arm or what it is, but then he gives her this arm, and then he shows her her new body, where she's just gonna upload her mind into this body. So why bother giving her an arm if he's a new body? I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it leads up to a lot of. I can't wait for the next issue. Basically, we don't know what's gonna happen.
Oh, Ray, we forgot to talk about. Well, Tech Varine actually tells them that there's no more resurrection in this future he comes from. That he knows how they died. I guess we didn't.
Yeah, he knows how they all die.
Yeah. And then with Arnab, I guess Moira is going to be uploaded to the cloud. And then you guys, it comes like from the past back to haunt me. It's this fucking timeline. Year 1000, the preserve, this ascendancy crap. They show Wolverine, Tech Varine, actually, from this future, and he's in the biodome, and Moira reveals to him that she just waited to, like, kill the last mutant all this time. She just kept him alive to fucking kill him at the end. This issue has revealed that Moira's intention... I guess she's just the bad guy now, the villain.
I know. This is the life where she sides with the machines. She's picked every team. She's been on every. She's had so many lives where she's signed on with different leaders. She's done the Magneto and the Xavier and Apocalypse and the Assassin. She was an assassin. Like all. This is the one where she sides with the machines. Like I don't. There's like timeline A, timeline B. This time travel thing is just like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So.
And she says, she's like, it wasn't AI that she needed to side with. It was with robots. So she's merging. It's called augmented intelligence. So humans merging with robotics or robots.
Which is, again, from that timeline, from the year one, where everybody, like people are born and they're church-like situation and they're right away given some kind of robotic implant.
I can't even remember all that, but it's all coming back. Wow, I did not expect this, but like she said, she was the mutant savior and now she's the Judas. So she's like, fuck this shit, I'm just gonna fucking ruin it all.
When they talked about the great betrayal, I always thought it was sinister. Like, I don't know who's a great betrayer now, because they all are. It's Magneto, it's Xavier, it's Moira.
Yeah, this issue was crazy. My mind was blown.
Yes. Yeah, so she shows up Moira or Phalanx Moira, and she's blasts a hole through Wolverine in the dome, and that's where the comic ends. Like, we'll see where. Like, what now? what?
And there's, we got four issues. Go ahead.
There's two more issues of this deaths to go, because I'm not even counting the lives.
So there's four total of this Wolverine back and forth between deaths and lives. So it's going to have to come together. So you can't have one without the other.
I guess, but man, deaths is so much better.
This one just trumps the other one. It's just so different. It should have just been a Moira book. I don't know why they named it Wolverine.
I guess Wolverine sells. If you put Moira as the title of a book on a
comic, it's not going to sell.
Maybe people who are invested, like people, I would absolutely. It really depends on where you're coming from. But a random person walking into the shop for the first time isn't going to be like, what's this Moira? And, you know, you see Wolverine, you're like, oh, life, death, Wolverine. I got it. This is interesting. It's a sales thing. You can't just say, "Ooh, the Moira. Who's that? Who that?
Yeah, because I definitely think it's like mislabeled because it's not about Wolverine dying. I don't know. Well, whatever.
It kind of dies here.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Fine. But yeah, I'm looking forward to see how they're going to wrap this up.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's almost
yeah. And that was it.
All right, guys.
Till next time. Till next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.